Good morning. We'll start with short opening remarks, and then we'll be able to take a few questions. Secretary General.
So, Prime Minister Ratas, welcome to NATO headquarters. I know that you have been here before, but this is your first visit to NATO headquarters as Prime Minister. And it is really a great pleasure to welcome you here and to also meet with you and to discuss a wide range of different issues. Estonia is really a steadfast ally, contributing in so many different ways to NATO. You are in Afghanistan, helping keep Afghanistan a stable country and prevent Afghanistan from becoming a safe haven for international terrorists. You also play a key role in strengthening NATO's cyber defenses. Your center of excellence on cyber is of great importance for the whole alliance, and we think it's extremely important that we continue to strengthen our cyber defenses, very much based on the work that takes place in Estonia. Then we also, of course, welcome the leadership you have shown for so many years on defense spending. You spend more than 2% of GDP on defense. That is something I welcome very much, and it also shows that you are leading through example, helping me to convince also other allies to increase their defense spending. We also think it's a very important role that Estonia plays when it comes to strengthening NATO-EU cooperation. I believe we need to work even closer together. And later on this year, Estonia will have the presidency of the European Union, and I look forward to working even closer with you than also in the capacity of the presidency of the European Union. We, of course, welcome Estonia's strong support to NATO. Estonia's support for NATO is strong, and NATO's support for Estonia is just as strong. We have air policing. Our jets keep your skies safe. We have increased naval patrols in the Baltic Sea and NATO exercises on land. And next month, a multinational battle group led by the United Kingdom will arrive in Estonia. And I thank you for Estonia's proactive engagement as a host nations. And all NATO allies agree that we need to increase our presence in the Baltic countries and in Poland, and we are doing that by the deployment of 4 battle groups to the 3 Baltic countries and to Poland. And this sends a clear signal of NATO unity, credible deterrence. At the same time, our response is measured, it's proportionate, and we continue to strive for a more constructive relationship with Russia. I welcome the fact that we have been able to convene 3 meetings of the NATO-Russia Council, underlining that we keep channels for political dialogue open, and we also think we need to develop our military lines of communications to avoid miscalculation, to increase predictability, and to reduce risks. So, once again, Prime Minister Ratas, it's great to have you here. Welcome, and thank you for being such a steadfast and staunch NATO ally.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary General, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your kind words. First of all, I want to thank you, Mr. Secretary General, for a very fruitful meeting and for your leadership taking NATO forward in these uncertain times. 67 years ago, NATO was established with a very simple person with a desire to live in peace with all peoples and all governments. The desire to live in peace is most relevant today as well, not only for Estonia, but all NATO allies and like-minded partners. Allied developments either to Estonia, Norway, Germany, Turkey or Romania are to protect well-being of our people and our way of life. The presence of NATO troops on NATO's territory is never threatened but to deter. That is why the Estonian people welcome the presence of the US forces and German Luftwaffe on our soil, as are we welcoming the armed forces of the United Kingdom, France and Denmark. We will arrive to Estonia in the coming days. Estonia has and will always do its part in the alliance. The need to project stability outside of our borders is self-evident. We will continue to push for an ambitious cyber defense in NATO. The fight against international terrorism is our common duty. I am also committed to enhancing NATO-EU cooperation during our presidency of the EU Council from June this year. The joint declaration signed in Warsaw by Presidents Tusk and Juncker and by you, Mr. Secretary General, provides good guidance for the NATO-EU strategic partnership. We need to follow it up. Let me also say a few words about our neighbor Russia. With the occupation of Crimea, military interference in the east of Ukraine, Russia not only has strongly violated the international law, but has also undermined the European security order. Such developments make our dialogue extremely difficult. However, we must continue with it in the NATO-Russia Council, like you mentioned. The restoration of the territorial integrity of Ukraine, and I believe also Georgia and Moldova, should be central part of these discussions. I have lived under occupation, and I know what it means. Freedom does not come without a price. Estonia currently spends 2.17% of GDP on defense. And last week I proposed to the Parliament to stay this course for least next 4 years, spending 2% of defense as a minimum. Hosting allied forces on our soil comes on top of that, as does the additional defense procurement fund is amount of 60 million euros. Once more, thank you for a fruitful meeting. We will hopefully continue our discussions in May here in Brussels with my other 27, hopefully soon 28 colleagues. And let me also repeat my invitation to you, Mr. Secretary General, to visit Estonia anytime soon. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to Estonian television.
Thank you. Johanna Stralla from Estonian Public Broadcasting. I have two questions. First of all, a question to the SecGen. Has NATO already received or are you hoping to receive an invitation to observe the Zapad exercise that is going to take place in the autumn? And a question for Prime Minister Ratas. The Lithuanian president has pressed NATO to take additional security measures in the region ahead of the exercise. Do you see a necessity for that? Do you see... Are you seeking for more support from NATO? And then my second question for both of you, should NATO react to the announcement from Russia's Minister of Defense that Russia is creating a dedicated propaganda division in the army? Is that a challenge for the EU? Is that a challenge for NATO? Or is that a challenge for each and every member state individually?
First, on the Zapad exercise, every nation has the right to exercise its forces as long as it's done within the agreed international obligations and regulations. We would welcome an invitation to observe the Zapad exercise. NATO strongly believes in transparency, predictability related to military activities like exercises. We will also welcome an advance briefing on the exercise. One of the reasons why we believe it is important to keep channels for political dialogue open to maintain the NATO-Russia Council as a platform for dialogue with Russia is that that provides a platform also for advance briefing, reciprocal briefings from NATO and from Russia on exercises. We invited Russia to observe 10 of our exercises last year. And of course, we would very much welcome an invitation to observe the Zapad exercise. I can do it, perhaps.
Okay, thank you. We also know that Zapad will take place in the second half of this year or in the end of summer. Also, Estonia at the same time holding the presidency in the European Union, and it is a very important period and time for us. We are monitoring Zapad every day, and if it is necessary, I am sure that we are together with NATO and reacting very strongly.
When it comes to the question of propaganda, I will just say that we are concerned about what we see as more propaganda, more disinformation, and this has been a pattern over a long time. At the same time, I think it's important to underscore that NATO's response to propaganda is not propaganda. The way to counter propaganda is not by more propaganda. We strongly believe in providing facts, the truth, because in the long run the truth will prevail over propaganda. So what NATO is doing is that we provide facts, we help allies to be able to answer questions and to provide the truth, the facts to counter propaganda. At the same time, I think it's also important to remember that an independent press, journalists that ask the hard questions, check the facts, and are part of an open democratic society, has always been important, but it's perhaps even more important now when we see that we see more propaganda, more disinformation. Independent press is part of a democratic society, and NATO is supporting and protecting democratic open societies.
We know quite well what means Russian propaganda in Estonia, and what we could do is important that we also building our strategic communication every day, and we discussed it, I could say, every cabinet meeting, how to increase, how to build our strategic communication, and I think it's one thing what we could do against the Russian propaganda.
BNS.
I'll follow up on what Johannes asked. The president of Lithuania has said that the Allied battalions that have not yet been sent to the Baltic states, that they are no longer sufficient, even though they are not yet there, and NATO should consider additional security measures before this Zapad exercise in September. Do you think that's necessary, and is it a topic that could come up on this next summit in May? Thank you.
I will answer that in a moment, but just let me add one more thing about propaganda, and that is that, of course, cyber and cyber defense is also a way of countering propaganda and disinformation. And and there Estonia plays a key role. You are really a leader when it comes to developing cyber defenses. The Cyber Center of Excellence, which is an important platform for sharing best practices, having exercises, developing technology, is really something I appreciate very much, and Estonia plays a key role. Then on the battle groups, I think it's important to remember that the battle groups is not the only thing that NATO does. We have tripled the size of the NATO response force so we can reinforce if needed. And part of that is that we have established a new spearhead force where the lead elements are able to move within a couple of days. So we can, if needed, reinforce quickly the Baltic countries, Poland, and also other parts of the alliance. We have also established 8 new small headquarters in the 3 Baltic countries and some other allies in the eastern part of the alliance. Those headquarters, the NATO force integration units, are important to link the national forces of Estonia with NATO forces to prepare exercises, but also to help to reinforce if needed. We are also increasing our investments in infrastructure. There will be more prepositioned supplies, equipment in the eastern part of the alliance. So we are doing much more than only the four battle groups. That's one very important element, but only one element. Let me add that for NATO it is important that we respond in a measured, proportionate way. What we do is defensive. We don't want a new Cold War. We don't see confrontation with Russia, and we don't want a new arms race. And that's exactly why we are looking for the balance between sending a clear signal of NATO solidarity, providing credible deterrence with multinational presence, but at the same time being proportionate and measured to avoid escalating the tensions.
If I may to add that for our opinion, it's important that in this springtime we could see in Estonia the battle troops from the United Kingdom, the battle groups from France, and they rotating Denmark. And these are, I think, very important that we are strongly our national forces the boots on the ground, and also our partners, also our allies is in Estonia if another side the border will be sabotaged.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press point. Thank you.